Getting to know you. Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you. Getting to like you. Getting to hope you like me. Getting to know you. Putting it my way, but nicely. You are precise.
This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind here on WBAI. We are a chance for you to get to know yourself with Julie Andrews' help. Today we're going to talk about one aspect of intimacy, true intimacy, about really being close to another person. I like the definition of intimacy that goes into me see, three words. Who, my friend, sees into you? Does anybody? Do you let anybody see into you? Who knows you? Does anybody really get to know anybody else ever? Does anybody get you? Who you are, how you feel, how you think? Does anybody really know what it's like to be in your skin? Do you think if someone who loved you thought about you right this minute and wondered what you were feeling right this minute, they would get, really get, your mood, your physical and emotional sense of yourself? Is it possible? Is there any chance that we really get to know each other? Does your doctor know you? Does your nutritionist know you? Does your mother or father know you, really know you? How about your therapist? You know, that's their job. Does the therapist know you, get you, understand you? There's a technique we learned during my training, Gestalt training, which was when you were sitting with a patient as a therapist, you would switch the chairs. And in switching the chairs, you would have the therapist speak as the patient, and the patient would speak as the therapist. So the therapist got a chance to see what the patient was projecting as the therapist's thoughts. It sounds kind of convoluted, but you get a chance to see what they think you're thinking. But on the other side of it, they got a chance to see whether or not you really knew them. And very often, the therapist failed at projecting what they knew about the patient. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Intimacy, or at least that one particular aspect of intimacy, letting people know who you are. We're going to be talking about what love and love partnerships are supposed to be, knowing each other, understanding each other, getting each other, grokking each other. Grokking, right, Julian? You don't know grokking, do you? Grokking comes from an old 60s book, Stranger in a Strange Land, by Robert Heinlein. A fascinating story about a space creature landing on our planet, trying to understand humans. But not just understand, he really wanted to really understand. So he called it grokking. And he said, I grok you means I really understand, to the level where I can almost feel what you're talking about. If you never read the book, it's a great book. At least it was back in the 60s and 70s. The TV series Mork and Mindy, do you remember that? That's before your time also. Everything's before your time. By the way, I'm sitting here with Julian.
Hello.
Everything's before your time, isn't
Everything's
it?
Before my time, apparently.
Right? Well, Mork and Mindy was based on A Stranger in a Strange Land. The book Stranger in a Strange Land, and Leon Russell did a song called Stranger in a Strange Land also. We should play that as our outro. That's great. Leon Russell. So, I got one of my favorite definitions of love that came from that book where the alien made up a definition from what he had learned on Earth. And he concluded, love is the total acceptance of another human being, with no desire to change them for your own needs. All right, that's interesting. Love is the total acceptance of another human being with no desire to change them for your own needs. That's a big definition. Any of you have that in your life? Somebody who accepts you exactly the way you are, and they have no desire to change you for their needs? Do you have anyone in your life where you feel like you could accept them and you have no desire to change them? It doesn't count if they accept you, but you haven't told them the truth about yourself. You know, if you lie about yourself and they accept you for your lies, that's different. This is Armand Mill. So here's a game we could play. And by the way, we'll be taking your phone calls a little later at 212-957-2729. 957-2729. And Paul, who came to visit me yesterday when we were doing some shouting back and forth, I said to him, you know, Paul, every now and then I get on the air and you hear my voice is hoarse, really hoarse. It comes from the screaming that I do during my sessions, especially with young people. So as you can tell, I've been screaming recently. Here's a game we could all play together. Get a piece of paper and write down the following five names. The name of your two closest friends. Write that down. Do it. Just don't think about it. If you're driving a cab, a car, a truck, pull over. Pull out a pencil and make a note on a piece of paper. If you're at your desk, take a break for a minute or two and try this. Make a list. You do it too, Maddie. Write down, okay, Linda, wherever you are, write down the name of your two closest friends, other than your family or your mate. Next, write down any committed or supposedly committed involvement you have with a husband or wife or someone you live with. Now write down your father's name and your mother's name, then add to the list the individual names of brothers and sisters. Then add anybody else who's close to you who's not on the list, like a sexual partner who's not your committed relationship, or a pet. It could be an animal or a fish or a doorman. Now add to that list your therapist, primary health care provider, or your spiritual leader. By now, if you did this, you have a list of about 10 names. Wait just a minute. Are you one of those folks who are interested in what I'm saying and going to do this with a list, but didn't make the list, could have but didn't, had the time and the pencil but decided you just listen to get the point? Are you one of those folks? Are you one of those watch it but don't do it kind of people? The ones who take photographs on vacations so that they can photograph an event rather than be really involved in it, so you can look at it later and tell folks how great it was? Are you one of those people? Ones who've got to take a picture of it? Well, here we have a second chance, my friends. Let's go back. Are you an observer rather than a participant? So as I was describing a possible learning experience by making this list, did you decide you'd skip the process and wait till I got to the punchline? That's what many of you did. Well, if you did that, I am going... Julian didn't do that. I'm going to do what I wish someone had done for me a long time ago. I'm going to offer you a second opportunity. Here we go, my friends. So I'm going to give you a little music in the background. Get involved in learning about yourself. Now get that pencil and paper and make this list, and then we'll work with it and take some calls. So second chance, make a list. At the top, the name of your two closest friends, not your mates. Next, write down the name of your husband or wife or someone you live with. Now write down your father's name and then your mother's name, living or dead. Then, my friend, next add to this list the individual names of brothers and sisters. Then add anybody else who's close to you, who's not on this list, like a sexual partner who's not your committed relationship. Or your pet, could be an animal, or a fish, or a doorman. Now add to that list a major professional, either your therapist, your primary health care provider, could be a physician, could be a nutritionist, or your spiritual leader if there is one. Now here's what I want you to think about. I want you to write down which of all these people know you the best. Think about it. Which of all these folks on your list know you the best? Maybe nobody really knows you, but who knew you the best? Who knows you the best? Take a few minutes. Think about it. Feel it. Which of these people know you the very best? So take the next 3 minutes and make your list. Two friends, two parents, siblings, mate, lover, dog or cat, doorman, doctor, shrink, spiritual leader, rank order. One is for who knows you the best. Number two, who knows you the second most. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. We're talking about love. And we're talking about how to love and how to let yourself be loved. And the way I'm approaching this today is through the exploring whether or not you let people love you by letting people know you. Really know you. Now, a lot of you made this list of who knows you and those people who get close to you. You made this list of people who are close to you, but do they know you? Do they really know you? That's the question. See, a lot of us don't let ourselves be known. We may let them see a certain part of us, but not all of us. What's the one thing about you that nobody knows? Or if they knew it, do they get it? Not just know it about you, but understand it. For example, you could say, I'm afraid of heights. Do they understand the panic that you feel when you get near heights? Do they get it? Or do they make a joke out of it? I've been a psychotherapist for over 25 years. I've been a counselor for hundreds of couples. Most couples, when they get to see me, are like adversaries. They come to my office and they complain about each other, and they really don't know each other at all. And that's what created my profession, psychotherapy. It's partially about people wanting to know and understand themselves, partially, but more than that, it's people who are dying to be known. But you see, most people don't know who they are. If I don't know who I am, how can I show you who I am? If I don't have a sense of what I am, but I only know how I react. For example, if I say, I hate liver. It doesn't tell you who I am. It tells you what I hate. It tells you what I react to. So getting to know yourself is a very difficult thing. And it's very difficult because if you made a list of all the things you are, you would see that there's part of them that are not you. So one of the ways that we find out who you are is to little by little, and you do this in therapy, you strip away who you're not. So imagine right now, wherever you're sitting, is this you? What part of what you're doing right now is not you? What part of what you're thinking is not you? What worries do you have about the future? What regrets do you have about the past? Where is you in the middle of this? So when people come to see me as couples, you see that they don't know each other, and most people don't know themselves. To have no one in the world who understands you is a terribly lonely feeling. Or a terribly angry feeling. Now, that's why they created this field called psychotherapy, psychology, counseling, psychoanalysis. But it assumes that we, my fellow professionals, are able to understand you. Are we? Are we? Do we care on any level to really try to feel what it's like to walk in your shoes, to be you? I talked about recently having an episode in a hospital where I got a chance to feel like what it was like to be fully paranoid. I was shocked. I was amazed that this is what it feels like. How many other mental states do you think you could go through? You know what it's like to be really depressed? Well, everybody's been a little depressed, but really depressed, where the decision you have to make to yourself is whether you're going to eat what's in the front of the refrigerator or it's in the back of the first shelf of the refrigerator, because getting the stuff from the back is too much effort. That's what real depression is like. Or do you know what it's like to be nervous? So nervous that you feel like you're going to jump out of your skin. Or do you know what it's like to be scared? These are things that we really don't know. I met many therapists in my life. About 1 in 50 have the ability to understand anybody, really understand, to know what the other person feels. They could describe it. And it's not to put them down, because it's the best you could do. You know, I mean, most times if you bring your car in for repair, rarely does the person really know what's wrong. They could take a guess at the general area, and they can't tell until they take it apart. Most therapists can't tell what's wrong. They have to take a lot of time to dig into it. That's why you have to do the healing yourself. Maybe short-term therapy, but it's got to go beyond that one professional therapist knowing you. A lot of people want to be the center of the universe. They want people to know them, but they don't want to know anybody. That's another problem. It's a loop. People know you. You get to know yourself better by knowing other people. They get to understand you better. This is Armand DeMille. So, you've made your list of your priorities. As you made your list, now, Julian, did you go through the priorities of your list? Who knows you the best? Did you do your numbers 1 through... 1 to 3. Say, talk to
I did, a 1 to 3. There's a lot of ties for me.
1 to 3?
Yeah.
You mean either people were either 1 or 2 or 3?
Well, yeah.
Okay. That's an important thing, because a lot of people were very similar.
Yeah, I have certain relationships, I guess, that are unique, that I feel like they know a lot of a certain part of me, and I feel like that those people are kind of on the same level.
Okay. Do you think you've let yourself be known to anybody?
I think, it's an interesting thing, because I think the one person that would be my sister.
Right.
Because I have a twin sister that, yes, I grew up with, and we spent, like, basically all of our lives together until we went to college. And it's not that we're twins, it's that we were each other's best friend and roommate and have been through all the transformation stuff. And then after. And it's like we don't even hang out that much, but we know each other. When we're together, we know it. And there's no question about it. So that's the person on the top of my list.
That's great. And now when she's out of town, she was in Paris for a while.
Yeah, she was gone for 6 months, yeah.
And how was that for you? Does it matter?
No, because, I mean, we would catch up every now and then, and it was perfect in that sense. And then, you know, we wouldn't. And then she would have her fun, I'd have mine. She just got back, and we see each other every now and then.
Now, that's the kind of feeling where you know somebody, and you're known by them.
Yeah, and there's no, like, need to show anything or need to, like, keep updated or anything like that, because we just get it. We just know each other. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to explain it, but it's
Now, do you ever imagine you could have that with a mate?
I can imagine, but I don't know how possible that would be, I guess, in some ways. Because there's the fear of losing them or scaring them away, I think. And I don't have that fear of my sister, because she's my sister. I can say whatever I want, and she knows it's me, and she can do that too.
And no matter what you say to her, she's not going to leave you.
Right.
Right? She's going to still be your sister and
exactly.
still be there. So you're saying the fear of, I'll use the word abandonment, the fear of their leaving you
yeah.
makes you not give them the entire picture, because the frailties of the entire picture make you hold back.
Right.
You got to hold it back, because if they ever saw how angry I was, saw how scared I was, how
right.
I felt,
they might not understand.
They might not understand, and they may reject me. They may push me aside. Mm-hmm. So I can't let them know.
Exactly.
Now, the other thing we have to throw into this is sexual charge. There is an energy that you have with your sister that doesn't have a sexual charge.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sexual charge to it.
No, right? Not
even
at
though
all.
It's male-female.
Right.
Would, is the absence of that sexual charge allow for a depth of intimacy? Do
yes,
you think?
I think so, yeah. Definitely.
Talk about that for me.
I mean, just I can tell by the way I interact with any girl. It's different than I do with my sister, for sure. And it's any girl, even if I'm not attracted to her. It's just because they're a woman and I'm a man. I just find that there's a way that we communicate, and I don't do that with my sister. It's a very, like... This is a not is genderless. It's like a sibling thing. Like, it's just, this is how, I don't know. It's very hard to explain, but
no,
I feel it when I'm there with her.
Yeah. Well, you know, it may account for the fact why there are so many adult couples I know who eventually drop the sexuality out of their mm-hmm. relationship. Now, up until now, most of us psychiatrists and therapists and guys who sell Viagra have been saying, this is what's wrong with your relationship.
Right.
There's no sexual charge.
Mm-hmm.
But if you exchange the sexual charge for the feeling that you have with your sister, my gosh, it might be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, there's another thing. Like, I have a friend who's a close friend of mine who I used to like and was attracted to and all this, and it never really broke that barrier of getting like really close, and she's the second on my list because we got past that when we talked about it, and we ended up stopping. We're never going to do anything together. We're just going to be friends, and it really went to that point, and now I feel like my friendship with her has become one of the most important in my entire life, and we really, really get each other. I'm unafraid to say anything because there's no sexual rejection there anymore.
Interesting. Interesting about that energy. I wonder how genetically our choice of honesty is chosen by our genetic needs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something inside us that is saying you got to show your good feathers and don't show your weak feathers, because mating is still at hand.
Right, yeah.
You know? Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind, 212-957-2729. As you made the list, Julian, and since I could use you and probably whoever calls next, as you made the list, did anything surprise you?
Yeah. I have a person I always say is my best friend, and then I have my dad, who's I'm very close to. I feel like we're very, very close, but there's some ways that they don't know me at all.
Right.
And so that's why they're like my dad and my best friend forever, my friend Felix, they're a third on my list. Because we have certain sides of ourselves that we're extremely like, and I've noticed that it's kind of like what they're like. So my dad is a certain way, and I'm that part of me is totally open with him, but there's another side that's not like him, and I don't really share that much with him. And it's the same thing with my best friend, too.
So there's a part of you that they react to.
Yeah.
Right? And they react to you with a certain sense of judgment.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yes, definitely. That's probably why I wouldn't show it to them in that sense.
A sense of judgment. Very interesting. So if there's a sense of judgment, then it takes away from your ability to show yourself. And what Julian's describing is in his closest relationships, that sense of being judged is completely absent. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. We have a caller on the line. Hello, Maria. It's Armand DeMille.
Hello, Armand.
Hello, Maria.
I have exactly a relationship with what you're talking about.
Could you turn down your radio, Maria?
Yes.
Turn it off. Turn it off. You have to turn it all the way off, Maria.
Turn it off.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You have to turn it off. You're welcome.
No, you have to turn it off all the way. I can still hear my voice
Thank
in there.
I'm sorry. I just want to tell you that it's very rare to have this kind of relationship with your husband, since I know lots of people, and I speak about that. And so I just moved to a different room because of Papa. And you have to, actually, you have to be very, very similar. And when you are the same, you can please each other completely. And on the scale of 100.
Let me understand you a little better, Maria.
Okay.
What did you just say? Can you move to a room where we don't necessarily hear the parrot in the background?
Yes.
Is there such a room?
I just said that you have to be very similar to know each other and please each other. To have this wonderful mutual relation, to know each other completely.
Let me ask you a story about your bird.
Yes.
Okay, now who's the bird? Does it belong to you or does it belong to him?
The bird belongs to me, but it used to be my son's bird. And when he has a child, he gave the bird to me.
Okay, so now, how does your husband like the bird?
Excuse me?
Are you living with your husband?
No, my husband, he died.
He died? When did he die?
14 years ago.
14 years ago. Have you had the bird for 14 years?
No, I have birds for 4 years.
4 years. It's your son's bird. So when you hear the bird screaming like that over and over again, what do you think to yourself?
Well, in general, he doesn't scream, only when I am on the phone or where I go away. Because he wants to hear your voice. He wants to be part of the conversation.
He wants to hear your voice.
Your voice.
My voice.
Yes.
He wants to be part of the conversation, so he's screaming because he wants to be able to be part of whatever's going on. So therefore, you're never alone.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know how you can have a relation to this extent with the bird.
Yeah, I know. But sometimes we do that. Sometimes we fill in.
He tells me a lot of times that he loves me. I love you.
Yeah, I hear
But it. We don't know what we know about the bird.
Yeah. So it seems to me that there's a point at which you're never alone, so you don't really get a chance to see, you know, who you are. Now, since your husband died, have you seen anybody else? Have you dated anyone else?
I was going out with somebody who was my dance partner, but not really, no. A lot of people ask me to marry them, but I'm by myself.
And you like being by yourself, Maria?
No. I would like to have partner, I would like to be with someone that I would share my life completely, and I will be for that person.
Let me ask you a question. If that person said to you, I could live with you, but I could not live with your bird.
I will have to get rid of the bird, because that person will be my priority.
Your relationship would be your priority?
Yes.
Very interesting. Well, Maria, you've learned a lot about yourself. I hope you continue to learn more.
Oh, yes. You know, thanks to my husband, I learn about myself. So I am very strong, and I know myself much better now than before him.
Well, I thank you very much for calling in.
And I wish you well.
Yes, and what's your bird?
You are such a nice person, and I love to listen to your show.
What's your bird's name?
Griffin.
Griffin? Good.
Yes.
Could you now put on the radio and I'll talk to Griffin when you hang up?
Okay, you will be quiet. I have to go far away because I walk far. I have, I went to my bedroom. So, 1 second.
Okay. We've got to give Griffin his chance, huh?
Okay,
Griffin, can you hear me now?
Not yet.
Better work.
I have to put you on the speaker.
We've never done this on WBAI.
Hello?
Okay, now, Griffin, can you hear us? Uh-oh.
Hello. Hi.
See?
Hello.
Hello, Griffin. Well, anyway, Griffin, thank you very much for being a part of our show on WBAI. If you could teach Griffin to say WBAI, then we'll call it and we'll make a station identification with him. We have to be going, Maria. Thank you very much. Hello, Griffin. And thank you all.
Bye-bye, Griffin. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. He actually got quiet. Bye. He actually got quiet. How do you like that? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, my friends, more of this silliness. Do get to your list and do call in 212-957-2729.
Attention, baseball fans. WBAI has tickets to a Brooklyn Cyclones game on Saturday, July 19th. The game will start at 6 p.m. We have great tickets for 16 people that are located between first base and the right field wall. Each ticket is available to any WBAI supporter for a donation of $25 or more for each ticket. Tickets are available through WBAI.org or by calling 718-788-5263. That number again is 718-788-5263. You can make arrangements to get the tickets by calling the aforementioned number or pick them up at WBAI's administrative office located at 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. And thank you once again for supporting WBAI New York Pacifica Radio.
Armand DeMille here with you with the positive mind. Hey, receive some emails. Maria, you must send me an email with your parrot's name. Parrot was Griffin, right? I think we are going to make a recording with Griffin. I think we're going to do it. I think we can actually do that. And we could have our young friend, right, join us in that. This is going to be a very exciting shape to our program. So, Maria, send me an email. And so I can write back to you and let you know what the proposal was here. We're talking about getting close to people and getting people know you. And I did it by a lot of people want to be the center of the universe. They want people to know them, but they don't want to know anybody. Now, here's the problem. Do you ever run into anybody, it's all about them? No matter what you do, it's all about them. You could break your leg and they say, oh, yeah, I broke my leg. So no matter what it is, and then worse than that, if you have a tragedy, it becomes their tragedy. See, if you have something really go on, they have so much sympathy for you that it's like they take it over. It's like if you say, oh, my dog died, then they will grieve beyond grief for your dog's death, not because they care about you, but because they love the opportunity. There are many people I know who will never miss an opportunity to be involved in something tragic, something very dramatic. And that's just one group of people. But letting people get to know you, to get to know yourself better by knowing other people, they get to understand themselves better. It's a give and take. So if you get to understand yourself better, then you get to understand them a little better. Hey, we've got Henry on the line, 212-957-2729. Thanks for waiting, Henry. It's Armand DeMille. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, I went through this list here, and when I was going through it, I realized these people don't know me that well. And one of them is dead, and one of them I used to have a relationship with, but I don't know. They haven't talked to each other in about a couple of years. And I realized that the people that I know are relatives, but both of my parents are dead. And my wife is still alive. But my brother, and I haven't seen in a few years. And I've been trying to make an arrangement to see him. He had a birthday recently. And I planned a dinner date. Old me, and for the last couple of weeks, he's been so busy. He hasn't made any attempt to get back to me for a date and time.
That must hurt something terribly, Henry.
Yeah.
You know, it must hurt so much that you can't let them know how much it hurts, right?
Right.
Because if you let him know how much it hurts, what would happen? If you said to your brother, what's your brother's name?
Ricky,
if you said, Ricky, you may not think this is important. If you wrote him an email or sent him a note, you didn't respond to my invitation. I want you to know that hurts me a great deal because I miss you as my brother, and I'm trying to make it work for us again. Please respond. Now, if you let him know that it hurt you, do you think it would send him further away? I have a suspicion that you are afraid of telling the truth.
Yeah. I think I feel that it would put me in a bad light.
Well, you see what I mean by a bad light? It would make you weak.
My image of myself is not that good.
Yeah, you see what I mean? You mean your picture of yourself is not that good, but you think that by showing who you really are, that they would be even further removed from you. But the trouble is, even if Ricky got to know you now, he still doesn't know who you are because you don't want to show yourself. So, Henry, it's that time in life when you got to make a choice. And the choice is to either be real or be Memorex. Be real, you don't know what Memorex is, do you?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, Julian, I'm talking to you. It was... Okay, so it's time to either be real or not be real. Now, here's what I mean by real. Henry, you hurt on the inside, right?
Right.
You're lonely, aren't you?
Very lonely.
Very lonely. And if you were just not just talking to me, but if you were letting your head hang down right this minute, and if you were saying it to me as if you really felt it, you would say, Armand, I'm very lonely. Can you see those words and see what happens to you when you say those words?
I'm really lonely.
Do you feel how far down that takes you? You see the abyss, you see the tears as they almost want to come up?
Yeah.
That's the cleansing, you see. It's in there, in being willing to show who you are and what you feel, that the cleansing starts to happen. So you don't need your brother, who might... with the positive mind. This is Armand DeMille. Nicely done, Reggie. Nicely done. You know, here we are.
I have my moments.
You did that nicely, you know? That was great.
I have my moments.
I just want to know, where were you when you noticed we went out?
Well, I was at a place where you usually relieve things. And,
right, I understand. I figured that was happening.
And I said, oh, yeah. I said, really, nice timing there, Armand. Yeah, you planned a power outage.
Michael got me to do that.
You planned a power outage during the time when I was like, well, yes, we don't need to go in.
Outage is the right word. Thank you very much, Reggie.
You're welcome.
So, Reggie, the thing we're talking about here on the air today was we were talking about getting to know you and people getting to know you. And we had Henry on the phone, and I was speaking with Henry. Henry, are you back with us?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's amazing how you got back. How did you like that getting cut off? Okay, Reggie, you can close your mic.
I am doing that right now.
Good, 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 good. So Henry, that's quite an adventure today, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the point I was making to you is, you're a guy who has to hide how he feels needy and feels weak. But by hiding it, nobody gets to know you.
Yeah.
So you need a new group of people. You need a group. You need some bunch of people that you could go to where you could be completely honest. And you know what I recommend? I recommend you go to an Al-Anon meeting or an AA meeting. I recommend you go to those. Yes, because at those meetings, nobody judges anybody. And you could be a complete stranger. You could walk in and you could say, here it is.
You know? I can lay my problems out on the table.
That's right.
And nobody
nobody's going to step on it.
Negative about me.
Nobody's going to step on it, Henry. Because no matter what your problems are, you know, you're just a human in this world. You're just a human in this world, and you're beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because even those people, they're family members, I'm distant from them. Just not only emotional, but physical. I never grew up with my family.
So you don't know what it's like to have a family.
I never grew up with my father's family or my mother's family.
Mm-hmm.
I was out of the house around 10, I guess. And it was always visit to my mother, but never stayed.
So you don't know what it's like to be connected.
I never knew what it was like to be like somebody in my family.
Henry,
resemble some of them.
Henry, you touch my heart. Listen, I thank you for calling us in. You're certainly part of the WBAI family.
So the Al-Anon, it would be a good place?
Yes, any of those
AA
meetings. Or AA meeting, yes.
So I could look it up?
Yes.
And go to one of their meetings?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'll give you solace, okay?
Okay,
and I thank you very much. And call us back and let us know what's happened with you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you,
Henry. Thank you.
That's really nice. You know what I like about this? Even though we got cut off, we were able to get Henry back, of all people. So we got a number of random phone calls in the middle, and we just popped on when Henry got on. It's kind of magical. You know, this world really wants people to get to know each other. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to be going now because we have to be going because it's beyond us tomorrow. I want to be talking about your home. I want to talk about the feeling of feeling alone. I want to carry this a little further with Henry about what it's like being alone. And then I want to talk about, also related to Henry, the sensitivity to the feeling of rejection. Are you one of those folks who are so afraid to get rejected? Well, we'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Sorry for the introduction today. Whoever was responsible for punching out our lights, they did so, but we came right back. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends.
you continue on with your day, I'd like to ask you to visit the website at WBAI.org and consider becoming a BAI buddy. For as little as $10 a month, you can help the station and make a recurring donation on behalf of this program. As a BAI buddy, you receive a WBAI membership card, as well as very nice discounts at area museums and various local facilities, and selected WBAI-supported events, and all donate a free CD, no charge to the station. It's a safe, secure, and easy way for you to support this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station, WBAI.org. Thank you for your support.
Remember the slogan of the great French biologist René Dubos: think globally, act locally.
Hi, I'm Ken Gale, host and producer of Ecologic. My next show, July 8th, is dedicated to Seegerfest, which is dedicated to one of my favorite environmentalists, Pete Seeger. My guests will be Katama Cahill Jackson, Pete's grandson, and any musicians Katama brings with him. That's Tuesday, July 8th at 8 p.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Come down Saturday, July 12th to Brooklyn's Fulton Park to enjoy the first annual A Sip of Summer with music from WBAI's Ife, a.k.a. Miss ID, that's me, and Max Jerome spinning classic R&B, soul, funk, house, disco, and hip-hop. This is a free family event in Brooklyn's Fulton Park located directly in front of Boys and Girls High School and ANC trains to Utica Avenue.